I think all of us these days, in the wake of new technology, are asking ourselves, how can we interface what we know with these new technologies? And I was fortunate enough a few years back to have an opportunity to take a look at the pecan community and take a look at technology and try to begin to answer that question. And because I am an absolute IT retard, if I can participate in something that works, everyone should have some hope that there is a place for this technology. So I'll begin with a little bit of background on what our strategies were, what our goals were. Keep in mind, throughout this, we're looking at how this technology can interface with pecan stakeholders to communicate information. And we realized from the beginning that the old traditional route, where you generate information within, say, a university system, and you receive that information if you're a producer or other person in the public, is not the best use of this technology. This technology can be interdisciplinary, it can be interactive, it can be real time, and who is generating information, who is receiving the information, and the rate at which that can ping pong back and forth to increase knowledge is changed by this technology. So in this talk, I'm going to try to capture flavor anyway. And yes, I will talk about a producer network. It's part of an overall program and an overall matrix of this strategy. Immanuel Kant said the two greatest questions in life are, what can I know and what ought I do? This technology helps us know things. You ask some folks, we don't have to go any further than Google. Google will tell you everything. Still, even when you know everything, it's up to you to decide what action is called for based on that knowledge. And I don't think that is automatically going to follow. I'm not sure Google can tell you what you ought to do. How do you gather, organize, provide, and exchange information to obtain what we need when needed on a commodity? We decided to focus on a commodity, in this case pecan stakeholders, because if we're going to deal with this digitally on a website, you got to have an audience. Who is that audience? I spend a lot of time on the web like you do. I find a lot of really useful, isolated, vacuumized pieces of information. Maybe I even use it at the time. But it tends to become lost, and I'm not sure I can find my way back to it if I wanted it later. In this case, we can tie the website to an audience and use pecan stakeholders, that is, research, extension, teaching, as well as the pecan producer community and associated groups, and try to cultivate a digital environment that serves that audience. Here are the principal pecan producing states. So dealing just with pecan, these are the producer organizations, scientists, primarily land-grant institutions that we're talking about, that are involved in this. So even though I'm standing here talking to you, we have links to all the pecan-oriented disciplines across that belt and in those institutions. And we try to be as inclusive as possible in interacting to develop and grow this program. The structure, our funding primarily comes from USDA PIPE in the southern region. We have a producer advisory board. We have a producer network. The pecan IPM belt-wide, pecan scientists help develop the baseline for this. And you can find on pecan.ipmpipe.org. The reason that's org is because I didn't want it to say TAMU.edu. because this is an industry resource. Yes, A&M is heavily involved in the production of it, but it's not exclusively involved. We've got input from across the belt, and if we brand it with an institutional logo, we're asking folks in some ways who may be sensitive to that to work for our brand. I never thought that was right, and we went through the hoops to get that in the first place. Facilitate communication among pecan stakeholders. So how do you do this IT strategy? We have commodity stakeholders, researchers, extension, teachers, producers, who have a knowledge base. In order to build this kind of thing, you have to build it with that knowledge base. That's where the science is going to reside. It's where it's going to come from. It's where the practical experience resides. That's why you put that structural team together in the first place. And you should know where you're going on two-dimensional paper before you walk over to your first computer. Then, I would argue, you need IT experts to provision the server with that knowledge. You want to take a model and put it into the server and have it run from information input, provide outputs. Better find some IT expertise to do that. You may be able to work it out by hand, but if you're going to try to do it at 200 locations in real time across a large geographical area, it takes some additional tools to interface to do that. IT experts can and do that. Then you need to put it out into a public website. What's that going to look like with design and navigation? It takes a different brand of IT person to do that. IT experts provide that web design and navigation. I say they are two different animals. It's rare to find an individual with both of those skills in the same individual. And if you have the wrong one who can be a world beater in provisioning a server with models, they're likely not to be able to be sensitive to the right design navigation, and vice versa. Most of us working at the bench anyway don't know that up front. I was fortunate in having access there. Then you launch, you market the website, you review, upgrade, and grow the website, integrate it with research and teaching. I'll try to give you an example or two of that. And then you need to sustain the website. So if somebody comes along with something new, they can get the resources to do that, say an application of some sort. They can provide it. They don't have to reinvent the whole wheel in order to put it into the context of communication among stakeholders. I don't think we've arrived quite yet at that point. Most of us are rewarded for putting out our own little newsletter, developing our own little application, and throwing it up into the cloud, hoping folks come along and find it, et cetera. I think we need some organization to have a sustained, growing audience that participates in harnessing. Here we have how it gets built. I look at it as a three-layer cake. There's that knowledge base. There's your provisioning server. There's your output. All these layers work interactively to create and grow a displayable product. That's the 2011 version at that website. And what do we want it to look like in the future? Note this is a dynamic technology. This isn't like publishing a book or something. It is capable of changing and growing, and I don't know where ultimately it leads. This is the timeline that's put together. I primarily want you to see here in the December 2008 to 2009 when we recruited the producer network. We now have over 100 of them. They're primarily interfaced with pecan nut case bearer real-time information from the field that we use to provision a model, a prediction model. But it's to say this is embedded within all these other things, and in my opinion, we're not done yet. We've only been at this a few years. It's a whole new technology. There's a lot of people out there who have ideas, and we'll see a lot more of those today. And there are ideas I've already seen at this meeting that fit well within the context of what we're doing. We don't have a hold on all truth here at all. In fact, often we're grappling to serve various aspects and even what we have. we think we can do better, probably. Let's figure out how to harness this internet, and this is where we currently are. But it's a dynamic, ongoing, interactive process. That's what our portal page looks like. There's 208 plus web pages, but as you know, with a web page, you can have a lot of stuff that is associated with that. So it's really far more. And the rest of this is primarily coming down to two things. This says become a case bearer map, because that's what I'm going to emphasize today in terms of this producer network and this toolbox. There's actually a whole suite of maps that you can get here. For the most part, these are real-time, interactive, and this toolbox is static information on IPM. You can always upgrade that, but it provides a one-stop resource to begin to understand current state of knowledge and best practices in PCON. So this is a decision aid component on our key pest. We're hooked up to the internet, Blake. Is that right? Well, that's okay, but this is going to talk about continent maturation stations. It went to the home page, and I really don't want to be there. I just want to be on my next slide. And so I don't know if I can back out of here. That was a live web page, and I apologize.
Oh, you're fine.
All right, so now I've got to get off that thing somewhere and just go to the case bearer example. We provided a producer network with traps, lures. They deployed them, and they reported to pipe in real time, in essence, tracking this moth flight. When males first start to fly, we have a degree day model that can kick in, and it will predict all the other life history stages that occur from there on through oviposition, et cetera, and that tells you what their decision window is. So, information's here, producers gather it, send it to the server, server processes it, puts it in pipe, and out it comes here on a Microsoft Earth map. Here's the Microsoft Earth map. You can do anything with this map that I don't want to do, but you can drill down with it. It's standard map. It is overlaid with icons that deal with various status circumstances of a continent case bearer. This says there's an existing location. This says the decision window is imminent. This says you're within the decision window. It's about a four-day period. If you worked off just calendar dates, historically, you'd have a three-week window at which you're at risk. Using this model and interfaced with this system lets you narrow it to 4 days, make a decision within that window, and you can treat or not treat. The support material is there. That's here. It will tell you all about pecan nut case bearer and how you make a decision as to whether or not treat or not treat. But you can see across the entire belt the status of that insect at any particular point in time. And this says the decision window is passed. You can try a rescue treatment, et cetera. If you want to see what it looked like on previous days, you can actually use this calendar, go back in time. It'll show you what that map looked like. If you want to drill it down or if you want to look at aerial view, you want to look at a car in your driveway, you can do all those things. But that will get you that. We also have, if you run your own pheromone trap, you can enter your location, enter your data when these moths first start to fly, hit the results button. This shows you the oviposition curve to expect, and it'll give you a 10 to 14 day lead time if you're prompt when you put this in. All this operates from your desk computer for your own use. We will track the information, but we don't use it. We don't put it to the public site. And this tells you the confidence bands, more or less, about how we think this will occur. And at this yellow line, it says this is your decision window opening, and this means that it's the ideal time if you need to treat, and you're checking with a sequential sampling model. So if you don't need to treat, you can safely not treat and expect not to have economic damage. There's good reasons for that, with pollution and secondary pests and other things, to not treat unless you need it. This is Pecan Bud Break. It's a new IT tool, and you can run this from your own desktop and upload it. Another real-time risk map is Pecan Scab, very important disease. You can get updated every few hours with your risk from this map. Real-time versus historical weather, we can ask with CaseBearer in our methodology for the model. How good is this? We use this historical weather, as you see here. This is a comparison. If we had used real-time weather, which is far more expensive, our conclusion is we're using historical weather, and it's a good investment at a much lower expense. This is people using the website. This is where they're coming from, and it's just a short little window in time. Here's the things to remember. We have a target audience. Target audience is growing. Here's the map tools, real-time, Pecan Toolbox. All disciplines currently working in this area have an investment in this, and there's my acknowledgement.
Make sure it was in the correct form, and then I made all the decisions based on the flow of information of trap data. We currently, with the Bud Break model, all that's run from the producer's desktop, interface with the server, where they identify themselves, put in location, everything else. We're using that same approach capture the CaseBearer data now from the producer network. So when I say this is an evolving thing, you work with what you have, and then you use your IT people to continue to mechanize it, to interface it, to make it more seamless and less expensive.